Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Right smack dab in the middle of Malachi chapter 2. And what an instructive book, John. It's amazing to me that the Old Testament, and in this book, 2,500 years ago, 2,400 years ago, is just so applicable. The things that we're dealing with in this book are the problems in society and in church today.
It is exciting to read this book and see what God is telling them and how they are to fix their problems. And you're right, Pastor, what he tells them is what we need to do today in our culture.
So one of the problems that we talked about last episode was the fact that the priests were being partial in their teaching of their application of the law. You think about in the New Testament sense, pastors, we're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God and not cherry pick, you know, the parts of the Bible we want to emphasize or not emphasize.
Right. Yes. And we come to the Word of God. We preach it forthrightly. We deal with what the Bible says. And as we do that, go through the Word expositionally, God will work in our hearts and we'll become more like Christ.
And it really gives the proper respect to the Word of God. When we preach the Bible for what it is, then what we're saying is we're saying we believe the Bible is sufficient to meet the needs, expose the needs, and meet those needs of the people.
Yeah, that is for sure. And it is great to see how God can take a passage of Scripture as a man of God preaches it and can work in people's hearts to make them more like Christ.
Yeah, just one final thought on that is, you know, my good friend, Pastor Scott Toole, gives the illustration that I think erroneously we look at the pastor sometimes as the doctor, the physician. You know, he's supposed to diagnose the problem. And that's really a misunderstanding. Jesus is the physician. The Word of God is the diagnostician. What the pastor is the pharmacist.
Yes.
We just receive the script from the doctor and say, you know, here it is.
Exactly right. And that's why it's interesting to see sometimes when you preach, you know, somebody will come and say, that was a blessing to me. God spoke to my heart. And what they talk about wasn't really what you were pointing out. It was in the text. It wasn't something you preach about, but the Holy Spirit spoke to them about that truth.
No, for sure. That is so true. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10 is where we are, my friends, if you're following along. Let me read the verse. It says, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? So we just want to handle that one verse here for a bit, John. We're about to enter a section where specifically, the Lord is talking about the way we treat our spouses in marriage, specifically how the men were treating the women in marriage. But before we get specifically into that one relationship, the larger context is mistreating each other.
You know, in our culture in America, it's very individual-oriented. But you look back in the Bible and you find it's very community oriented, how that they were to be, you know, they were part of the same covenant with God. They were to treat each other correctly. And even the church in the New Testament is to be very community oriented, how that people are to be one. They're in one body in the local church and they're to serve together and help each other be edified.
And it's interesting as when the Lord is dealing with the wrong way by which they're treating each other, he comes back to, hey, let's focus on what we have in common. What we have in common is we have a common Father, we have a common God, which therefore makes us brothers. And so we ought to, the best thing we can do for our relationship with our Father, with our God, is to get along with each other. Every parent understands this.
It is so sad when you see families that don't get along And I do think once you say that, Pastor, how God, you know, saddens him to see his children not getting along with each other.
So the New Testament admonition, the one I'm thinking of at least, 1 Peter chapter 3, love as brethren, love as brethren. That's really the Greek word Philadelphia, isn't it?
Right, yes.
To have that love because we're brothers.
Right, and it's supposed to set, the church should be noticed for being different from the world by the love they have one to another. You know, in John 13, Jesus tells his disciples, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, you know, if you have love one for another. And that is the concept we have right here in Malachi, is that they are one covenant people. They should be getting along, but they're just not doing it.
And to extend that, so the problem is they can't even get along with each other, and therefore, as a team, as a nation, they can't fulfill its purpose. They're too busy taking care of their own issues. They can't even relate properly with each other. How in the world are they going to reflect God's love and glory to a lost and dying people around them that need to know who Jehovah God is?
It reminds me of Jesus in the New Testament. We're all familiar how he talks very forthrightly about the necessity of being right with each other if we're going to be right with God. And Jesus says, you know, when you come to, you know, bring a gift to the altar, if you have aught with your brother, leave and go take care of that problem, first of all, because our interpersonal relationships are important to God, and they are a mirror of how our relationship with God is.
And the best indicator to people that are outside the faith, that the faith is real, is the love that we have one to another. We know the verse, you know, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. Sometimes we erroneously buy into the idea that the best way to reach the world is to love the world. Now, obviously, we ought to show love to everybody, but now they're looking at the way we treat each other. They're looking at the relationship we have.
Yes, and that, you know, that's why throughout the New Testament, we find time and again where God tells us that we as a body of Christ are to function properly, function as the body ought function, and that as we do so, we are a testimony to those who are on the outside.
I think of the verse in 1 John, several verses, where the Bible says, if we love God but we hate our brother, we're a liar. He that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So you can't separate these two, can you? If there's one Father, if there's one God, then we have to be related properly to our brother. We have to.
Well, we have to be. You know, it's one thing for me to say I love God. People can't see my heart. But people can see my love for God by the way that I love those that are around me.
And the two great New Testament examples, both in the ministry of Jesus, number one, the Good Samaritan, where Jesus made it obvious that loving God is loving your neighbor. And your neighbor could be the one that is the one against whom you have racial prejudice, but love him. He's in need. And then number two, when Jesus answered the pointed question, what's the greatest commandment? But he was unwilling to give just that answer. He said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So loving people is the way by which we love God. And the primary people that we're supposed to love as an example to everybody is our brother.
Yes. You know, and Pastor, it does sadden my heart when I see people who are Christians and who ought to be getting along, but this has caused division. You know, today's social media is such an arena where this takes place at, where on social media, people just start being divisive and ripping up each other. But that totally does away with the unity that ought to be in the way we love each other.
No, that's so true. Let us do good unto all men, Paul told the Galatians, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I think God is saying here to his people in Malachi, especially should you be dealing kindly and lovingly with each other. And yet the exact opposite was true. They were dealing, and the word here is, it even sounds ominous, treacherously. You're dealing treacherously with each other.
Yeah, and that is so sad because they were the covenant people of God. And as you mentioned, they enjoy the same covenant. They had a relationship with God. They were in a privileged status because God chose Jacob to be the one through whom the promise would come. They had this great position with God and great ability to have a relation with one another, and yet they were treacherous. And you're right, that is a very strong word.
The passage that Malachi chapter 2, my friends, reminds me of, and I would view it as its New Testament counterpart, is Ephesians chapter 5. So in Malachi chapter 2, God says, hey, treat each other right. If you have a right view of me, a right relationship with me, you call me your father, call me your God, then you're going to have a right relationship with your brothers. And then specifically, the most important human relationship we have, the closest one, is our spouse. I see the same thing in Ephesians 5, walk in the Spirit. In other words, if we're truly being controlled by God, His will, His agenda for our life, then we're going to be right with each other. We're going to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're going to give thanks. We're going to submit one to another. But then specifically, wives and husbands. So you see the same progression, don't you?
Oh, you sure do. And it is no wonder that God uses that closest of human relationships that is to be, you know, a picture of how we are to have a relationship with God and walk with God and be, you know, be God's loving children. And it is a great passage in Ephesians 5. And you're right, Pastor, it is very reminiscent of what we have in Malachi 2.
So just to maybe start that thought, because we're not going to be able to get to all of it today, but verse 11, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination. Abomination in the Bible would be something that God hates. And an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. And what is it? Well, the Bible goes on to tell us in verse 11, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God. So what was the primary way by which these leaders, especially, although it didn't apply only to leaders, were causing an abomination to God?
And we have in this passage, it talks about they married the daughter of a strange God. They were marrying women that were not part of the covenant of God. They were women from other nations that did not serve Jehovah God. They had their false gods. And God had warned them about that back in Deuteronomy. Moses very forthrightly warned them about this problem, said, if you do this, then they're going to pull you away from God. And that's why God hated this to happen, because he knew it would destroy them spiritually.
No doubt. I love the little statement there where it says that they have profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved. I think, yeah, obviously the Lord wants our relationships to be holy. And the purpose of marriage is not happiness, but holiness, because marriage is a reflection. It's a picture, right?
Of
God's love for us, specifically in the New Testament sense of Christ's love for his church. So when we profane the holiness of the Lord, I think this is holiness of the Lord here is used as a metonymy for the sanctuary itself, for the place where they worship God. God says, I love this holy spot where people come and show their faith and fidelity and passion and genuine worship to me. I love that. And when you profane marriage, which is a picture of that, you're spitting in my face.
You know, God is a holy God, and it always just amazes me when I stop and think about it, how that God, who is the holy God of all eternity, wants to dwell among people. In Exodus 25, when he gave Moses the guidelines and the plans for the tabernacle, he said in Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9, you know, build this tabernacle so I may dwell among my people. He wanted them to have a place where they could realize, hey, God is a holy God, but we can walk with him, we can know him.
Right. So the purpose of the relationship is just that, the relationship. Holiness means a set apartness, a closeness to, an exclusivity. And in marriage, you know, the purpose is that oneness and that relationship. But here were men who, for whatever reason, were saying, I'm willing to trade in the holiness part of it, the oneness part of it, for the benefit of it. So I'd rather marry this young foreign bride who can satisfy me, my desires, and have no concept whatsoever of the true purpose of marriage.
And we see in our culture today that our culture is just awash with immorality and lustful thinking and people that want to satisfy themselves and don't think about the purpose of why God created marriage. Even today in our culture, marriage often people look down on it. But we as people of God have to hold a high standard and say, this is what marriage is all about, and this is what it is, why we have it.
So I want to come back tomorrow to just this whole concept of how the relationships of our lives, especially our marriage relationship, is so important to God, because you show me your relationships and what they believe and who they are, I will show you what you'll believe and who you are tomorrow. So these are important principles in the Bible, and we'll come back. We'll start with this verse tomorrow, my friends, verse 11, and then we'll work our way forward from there. God bless you, my friends. I appreciate you joining us again today, and I hope you have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.